Welcome to the Minivate King Podcast, episode 181. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, that's some mellow music for a holiday weekend.
You got it. Phil Wilson.
Morning.
What? That was his Muddy Waters
that was
imitation.
My blues voice.
Old blues man. Morning.
You know, we should do just a takeoff on a blues show sometime. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, right.
The Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's never been done.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got to start off before we do anything else. I am so bummed that we missed the International Cat Video Film Festival at the Walker Arts Center.
I saw that and I thought, gee, we really ought to be there.
Yeah. Did you seriously?
No, it wasn't international, Steve. It was the Internet Cat Video Film Festival.
Oh, God, you're right. I totally. Yeah.
It was last night.
It was last night.
The Internet is international. So.
Well, it is. I don't know if the cat videos were from all over the world. It probably were, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, actually, good for them for doing it because, you know, they're doing some fun stuff. No question. I just thought, oh my God. Yeah, because when I have my son and his buddies going, look at this, look at, and they show me some cat video. It's like, come on, you guys. Seriously.
Is that the most viewed category on YouTube or I mean other than the professional stuff? It's gotta be one of the most popular.
Yeah, I would say.
Well, Keyboard Cat doesn't get old.
Keyboard Cat's great. Also, Ninja Cat.
The classic one.
Ninja Cat, the one that where the guy keeps peeking around the corner and the cat comes up a few feet, stops, freezes, and then the guy comes back, peeks around the corner again, the cat's closer. It's just, you know, I can see. Listen to us. Let's keep going here. Minnesota Cup winners were announced.
Get going.
In
other news.
I got a funny video to recommend to you guys. Oh, so have you seen Screaming at Trains and Trucks yet on YouTube?
No.
It's so funny. Oh, you got to go look at it. It's got like 1.5 million views or something now. It's only about 2 minutes long, I think, but it's a guy screaming at a DiGiorno truck. It's not delivery. It's like, hey, you can't deliver or you can't, you can't deliver DiGiorno. It's not delivery. Anyway, go look at it. It's funny. God. I'll put it in the show notes.
Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Graham. We appreciate that.
Oh, you'll love it.
So Minnesota Cup winners announced. So Graham, you're all over this.
Well, actually I wasn't, it's a funny story. I happened to be at the Carlson School meeting with the guy who's doing the social media analytics program there. And the finals, the presentations were going on there, sort of a private event. And I kind of walked right into it and ended up talking to John Stavig, who's the head of the program at Carlson, and learned that Precious Status had won and Heroic was runner up. And Docalytics was the third finalist, who's a much newer early stage startup that's going to do real well too. But yeah, Precious Status. I didn't realize that lady, Julie, was a former Best Buy exec.
Well, not only that, but I listened to her. She, she was the one, along with one or two other women, that started Wolf, you know, the Women in Leadership Forum at Best Buy.
Yep.
And I was in a meeting or a group session where she was the thought leader. And she is one impressive woman. I mean, she's really sharp. She really, really gets it and knows how to put stuff together. So it's no surprise that.
Yep.
That this happened. So
yeah, and I you might remember when I went to Digital River to hear the pitches of the high-tech semi-finalists, and I mentioned on the podcast that I had not heard about Precious Status before then, but I was quite impressed with it as a business model, and as far along as she was at that time. And I chatted with her afterwards, and lo and behold, she won it and has already announced a $1.2 million of financing.
Yeah, I saw you put that in there. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that just came out in the Business Journal, and it doesn't say the source of the funds, but they're raising a total of 1.5. So I'd say, you know, she's off and running with this site that enables caregivers and family members to better communicate, you know, regarding their, whether it's child care or elderly care or the care of someone who's, you know, under, you know, doctor's care, or it's a really impressive site and model that she's got going there.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because when you look at the at need and pain points, that one of the pain points for parents obviously is whenever you drop your kid at daycare, they just wail and cry, and the providers always say, well, you know, 2 seconds after you left she was fine, you know, which is not the case usually, but how do you know? And believe it or not, the same thing happens in pet daycare, and there's the same sort of you know, webcam based stuff that, so you can log in and look and get status updates on your pet, because it's the same sort of thing. You know, you always feel guilty abandoning your child, certainly, but your pet as well. So,
yep,
it's a big category.
Yep, yeah. I think you might remember, Steve. My daughter runs a child care center. You know,
she's right.
Read child care development. You know, she was a preschool director at a private school in Wayzata for 7 years, and she just started running her own a couple of years ago at her own home. And
no waterboarding. She doesn't waterboard the kids, or
no more waterboarding.
No, remember I said we wanted to try to set up a webcam.
Yes, yes.
Put it on her website, and right. You proceeded to tell me. You know, it's like you're going down a path that is so geeky, you can't even believe it. And you told me how you'd set some up for friends who wanted to watch their cabins up north, right, or whatever.
Right. And it sure, like, doesn't sound like Steve. I don't know.
Really. And it's like you volunteered to help me, but I thought, I don't think I even go there. It's like, you know, and so we never did that. And, you know, I think she's got a really nice website, which I helped her build. And, you know, I think she'd really like to have that for her parents, but it's like, it's way, way too geeky for your average person.
Yeah. Well, actually it's gotten easier since then. So we'll talk offline.
Well, but this precious status may be a solution for daycare centers like that, you know?
Well, very true. Very true. Cool. Well, that's amazing. So what's the, is it Tuloco or Tuloco that won the social entrepreneur division?
Yeah, that's one I didn't get involved in the student competition, so I don't even know what they do. Have you guys, a Yelp-like website?
Yeah, yes, and smartphone app.
For African-American businesses? Or
okay.
I guess.
Yeah. For black businesses.
There you go.
Their tagline, make every day Black Friday, which is
interesting.
Which is a great, great tagline.
Yeah, huh. It is. It is. And it's pretty interesting with respect to the categorization. So we'll put it in the show notes and people can go look at it. But you know, you can look at it by city, and they've got, I think, 7 cities so far.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they're in beta.
Good.
Well, New York.
Six here, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Oakland, and Washington, D.C.
That's pretty impressive. That's 7, for a startup to be in that many locations already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
it
so,
doesn't say who the founder is. I wonder if it's a graduate student at Carlson or what. Huh.
I don't know. Well, you know, it's the social entrepreneur category, though, is not student based.
Oh, this is, yeah. This is just
social entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
okay. Right.
I misread that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
but it's the story still doesn't say who the founder is. That's
no,
weird.
No. Huh.
I found it. Yeah. We'll learn more about them, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right. So Code 42 keeps expanding.
Yeah. Down under, baby. I immediately emailed Matt Dornquist when I saw that. I said, "Hey, why didn't you get your favorite Aussie involved?"
Yeah.
Meaning me.
Right.
And he said, "I didn't know you were an Aussie." And I said, "Where the hell do you think I got this name?" But he said, "Well, I have a cousin who lives in Australia, a retired Marine, and he married an Aussie girl." So I said, "Well, lucky him."
Yeah, and no so kidding.
They're going strong down there already in Sydney, and they might even have another location. I can't remember what it said, but.
Well, I'll tell you, the I don't know if you guys know who Michael Sampson is. He does, Tim, you know him, right? He's in the collaboration space. He's writes for Read Write Web.
That's easy for you.
Yeah. But he and I have talked many times on Skype, and he's in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. And the quality of the internet connection between the U.S. and Australia and New Zealand is just unbelievable. And I thought that it was satellite based, but he says that it's all undersea cable.
Wow.
And so, so you look at a product like Crash Plan, obviously you need some bandwidth if you're going to be transmitting a lot of files for backup and so forth. I got to tell you though, I'm going to have to do something because right now I'm backing up my Time Machine backup to a drive at our office, but I just bought adapters for two Seagate drives for Thunderbolt, and oh my God, is it fast! Like 28 seconds when I copied a 1.2 gigabyte video file, and so I need to figure out how to get about 2.5 terabytes of data to Crash Plan and then keep it updated.
Well, you get a couple of 2 terabyte discs and you put it on there
and
you
send drive it to them, right?
And you drive it down there.
Well, yeah, that's what I should do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they'll take your drives.
Yeah. All right, I'll do that. That's easy.
If I could just get service, I'd be support, I'd be happy.
Why is it bad?
What?
You're not getting support?
Well, yes, I posted that in the show notes. If you take a look at the note that's on their support site, or I couldn't
read that.
I'm sorry. Sorry. You know, there is a Zoom. There's a Zoom on your browser. I don't know.
There is?
Yeah, you could Zoom on your browser.
Oh, is that what that little picture is that you put on there?
Yeah. We're currently seeing unprecedented demand for technical support due to our recent rapid growth. That has been there for quite some time. And
you should send them an email.
I've called. I've talked to them in person. So it's a little frustrating, especially for somebody who's a fan of the company. It's just like, oh, come on, people. You know, they got that big infusion of cash. And the concept, I guess, was, you know, marketing and support and that sort of thing. Well, they obviously don't have enough support people because, you know, I called yesterday and let me see if I can find somebody up there.
So, well, that's why they hired Brian Bellis to straighten all that out.
Well, I wish somebody would because, Lord, it shouldn't take this long to, you know, because I've had issues in the past just because the way my system's set up, but it's just, and again, I'm a big fan of the service because it's very cost effective. And, you know, when it's actually, when it works, you know, and which is, you know, 90% of the time, the backups are flawless. But at the same time, it's like, come on, people, let's go. Yep. I need service. I need it now.
Wow.
Well, hopefully things will get better. Brian Bell joining the firm as president and COO, though, was big news.
Yeah, I don't know him. I've never met Brian.
Oh, he's a great guy. Former Top Gun pilot.
No.
And the brother of Peter Bell. Do you remember the huge company storage networks in the late 90s?
Yeah, well, isn't Peter Bell
way ahead of its time?
Isn't he head of the Met Council, Metropolitan Council?
No, this is a guy...
Or a different Peter Bell.
This is a guy out in Boston. At least that's where Storage Networks was. So if you're an insider in the storage industry, the name Peter Bell means a lot. I forget where he went after that. But Brian, I don't know how Brian ended up in this town, but he was an early hire at Compellent. Phil Soren hired him, and he ultimately became their VP of global sales. and took those guys to the moon. You know, I mean, they had one heck of a channel that they built. He was definitely a major driver in that. So I was a little bit surprised that he landed somewhere already. I kind of thought, hey, with all the money those guys made when Dell acquired him, you know, you wonder what, you know, if they just take a lot of time off or what, but he's coming back pretty quick here, but he's a fairly young guy. I mean, he's can't be more than like mid 40s.
Yeah. And what's he going to do? Go play golf?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, now, yeah, Phil Sorensen's another question. I'm getting more of a reading that he's probably not going to do another startup, but he's, you know, he's heading to his mid 50s by now. But yeah, Brian's
hey, be careful there.
Yeah, well, he's done two highly successful startups already. It's like, why would he do another one, you know, Phil? But but Brian, yeah, Matt is very excited about landing him. And he's not heading sales. He's president and COO. But he knows something about building a global business, and that's where they're headed.
Well, Peter Bell in Boston is with HMC Capital, a venture capital firm.
He's a VC now. Yeah, that surprised me.
So, interesting. Well, hey, our boys at SmartThings.
Hello.
Oh, my God. So they are, so somebody put in the show notes that they hit 508K with 3 weeks to go. They just hit 509.
Yeah, I just clicked over. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So
2,707 backers.
Yeah. Well, and I've gone through about 25 pages of the backers, and I got to tell you, there are a lot of movers and shakers in this list. So there's a lot of
like who
interest.
Well, like Kevin Rose,
Gina Trapani,
Steve Borsch.
Yeah, Steve Borsch. Yeah, you know, he was one of the early ones.
Which has a Minovate quote, and they have a Minovate quote on their Kickstarter page, right?
Yeah, right, front and center, underneath Mashable, and next to or above GigaOm.
Oh, above
the way it should be.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, no wonder Kevin Rose came in then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Are we getting a commission on these?
Those guys from Minovate, they know what they're talking about.
Well, I will tell you, though, that it's so I've been on a project for a while that's Internet of Things related, and I've read way too much about this space. And I got to tell you that it is as big and as exciting as it was when the internet went commercial. And it's just, I mean, HP, IBM, Bosch, Philips, I mean, all the big guys are lining up. You've got, you know, 57 companies that are in the space from a variety of different areas, you know, focusing on wireless sensor networks or wired or, you know, just industrial or just smart city stuff, yada, yada, yada. So it's the category is literally exploding globally. So this is perfect timing on their part.
They had a nice little update for partners yesterday, or that basically said, if you, I think it was a, you know, make a comment and share it on Facebook and get a free thing. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been doing that now. They've been, you know, if they get to a certain level, and of course that incentivizes backers to tweet and post and do other things about it. So
yeah, they seem to be doing it very well.
Yep.
Well, and it's an interesting team. I don't know if you guys have looked at or know all the team members. I don't know all of them, but I certainly know Ben Edwards and Alex Hawkinson, who was based here in town for a while, but then, and he had that Reach Local, or his company was acquired by Reach Local. Do you remember that? And I think he moved back east, or maybe kind he moved of. Out to LA where they were, but I don't think he's been living in town here. I could be wrong. I haven't seen Alex in quite a while, but he's CEO, I guess. And some of the other names look like guys that are sprinkled around the country too. So it's not purely a Minnesota team.
Oh, no. There's no question. No, it's definitely a virtual team. But yeah. God, I got to tell you, this is going to be, they've really lined it up well. I mean, when you look at the fact that it'd be one thing if they had the hub and they had sensors and devices that attach to it, but it's quite another to have an SDK API for stuff, they support all the protocols and so on and so forth. So it's pretty cool.
It's a developer ecosystem that they're trying to build, and
well, that's what's going to make it happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And if they can meet their dates, and they're, you know, when they're promising these things, that'll be wonderful.
Yep.
I sure hope this app is available on Android, because everything's demoed on an iPhone. But
they say it well.
Okay.
Well, that's actually a good segue into the next story, which is the Apple Samsung verdict.
Hey, you know what? That's why I said it.
They're going away.
Segue, right? Gold star.
And you know, somebody put in here Apple Samsung verdict, and I thought it said, will it Hitler innovation? And I realized, oh no, that says hinder. Will it hinder innovation? Probably the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but will it? I put that in.
Yeah. So what do you think, Tim?
I don't think it will.
No, I think it will, actually, because everything will have to come through Apple. You'll have to get a license. So that'll add cost to everything. And if you add, you know, $20-$30 to the cost of an item, obviously the pricing goes up, the market dynamics change. I think it really has a chilling effect on the entire smartphone and tablet industry.
I don't know. I think there's an Apple iPad.
There's an Apple iPad industry.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. I think it may spark innovation, because you know, you've got to innovate around these things. But I also know that the final word is not. This isn't the final word on the whole case either. So.
Apparently they're in discussions right now. The CEOs of Apple and Samsung are talking about licensing stuff and so on. You know, I'm so torn, Tim, because I've watched what's happened in our primary industry that we focus on, the home furnishings industry. And High Point, North Carolina, used to be the global hub of the furniture industry, and that was the show and so on and so forth. And now Chinese are so good at knocking off everything that the moment somebody releases something at a trade show by a major designer and there seems to be some buzz and it's hot and so forth, it's knocked off instantly, and they ship containers of the stuff to the Las Vegas furniture show.
Unbelievable.
And so companies are, 'cause my wife is press, so that she gets to take photos and so on, but they are so gun shy and so concerned that the stuff gets knocked off instantly. So it's that way in fashion, obviously, and it's that way in the home furnishings industry. And, you know, I mean, what if the smart things thing becomes the de facto standard and buzz and all of that, and all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of guys in Taiwan go, oh, we can just steal that and knock it off. And now, you know, it's basically crushing these guys right out of the gate. So
I'm sure they have patent protection. They certainly have copyright protection, but there's nothing you can really do about all of that copying that's done. I mean, the new iPhone, which hasn't even been announced yet, is already being sold in China. Of course, it's running Android, but but it's the bigger screen and the whole works.
I think that's kind of funny. Actually,
it is, but it's, you know, it's indicative of the kind of world we live in. But I thought that the verdict was surprising because it was so one-sided.
Yeah, it was very one-sided, and it was quick.
Yeah. So I hope that they're able to come to some licensing agreement, but it's clear that the big winner out of this is not only Apple, but Microsoft as well.
Right. I saw that.
Samsung is already starting to shift their focus away from Android to Windows 8, mm-hmm. both on the smartphone and the tablet side, mm-hmm. and of course the notebooks. And I think that's going to be a big shift. So, you know, Microsoft could really pick up a lot of market share here. And of course they have the cross-licensing agreements with Apple, so they can they can do whatever they want pretty much and not get sued by them.
Yep.
Maybe they secretly funded all these legal costs. So
I doubt that. But, okay.
You're really going to credit Ballmer with that?
Oh, that's right. He's not that bright. Forget I said that.
It's the lawyers
who just keep winning on this deal, though. The patent attorneys must just be licking their chops. You know, they're like on top of the world.
Well, see, here's the frustrating thing, you know, and I know, Tim, you probably kind of roll your eyes sometimes when I pontificate and go on and on about Apple, you know, and about the iPad and iOS and all of that. But I will tell you that if I was going to lay down money,
share that sort of stuff with us.
Yeah. But if I was going to lay down money and build something that was focused on a specific targeted market and I wanted it to do something very specific, I couldn't do that. Because the platform itself isn't open, but I could on Android. And one of the things that's happening in this whole Internet of Things space is embedded operating systems. And there are people that are dabbling now with Android-based embedded operating systems because it's got the touch interface. It's got all the stuff built into it, right? And you can do that. You can bend it and shape it and mold it to your will. So I find that to be pretty attractive, and that's what Amazon's done with the Kindle Fire. That is they've really made it do what they wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there is a need. So will it hinder innovation? Well, maybe in the phone space, and maybe, you know, in the tablet space, but maybe not.
Yeah, no, I think it just makes it very clear that Apple is going to dominate both of those industries for a long time. They've got the patent protection. They've got a huge war chest. They are ahead, and they'll continue to out-innovate the other companies. But it just seemed like Samsung in particular got caught up and maybe a little bit of ahead of Apple in the latest round of products. So will we see that in a year or two? Now that, you know, kind of the dynamics have changed and their cost structure has changed, I don't know. They may decide to back off. They may decide to put all of their, their R&D into making Windows phones instead.
Yeah.
Great. That may be a good thing for consumers. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with everything that's gone on, and I have to disclaim right now that I've done fairly well with Apple stock over the last decade. But I was with Apple.
Two decades.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. But in the last, in the late 90s, in 96, 97, after Steve Jobs came back, they opened up some new positions. And I did that for the Central U.S. for pre-press and publishing and a couple of other things. But, I got to tell you that it was really, really tough to even get anyone to even talk to you. And nobody cared about Apple, and everybody was placing their bets that Apple would be out of business, and it was not a good thing. And then after the iMac was introduced, and after, there seemed to be some excitement about the design, it was interesting to listen to our VP of sales say, you know what's cool? What's cool is being able to walk through the airport and have an Apple shirt on. And not get crap from people and have people go, hey, Apple, and give thumbs up, you know. And so now fast forward with everything that's gone on, it's pretty tough to fault Apple for wanting to protect and defend a space that, frankly, they really invented. I mean, all the phones prior to that, we've talked about this at length, but all the phones prior to that just sucked. Yep. And
well, they were different. I think that Palm certainly, you know, innovated and kind of brought the potential of the smartphone to a place. And if you go back and you look at like the Trio 650, and then look at the iPhone, you can see that obviously Apple perfected a lot of those things and greatly improved, especially on the software side.
Yeah.
But the look, the feel, the ideas were all, you know, years ahead of the iPhone. Palm really had that kind of going, very early on.
Well, very true. But, there was
5 or 6 years before the iPhone.
So my buddy Eric was head of public sector and education at Palm. And so he and I would talk about this stuff ad nauseum. But one of the things that I used to hammer on him about was I said, Palm obviously wants to protect their revenues because you buy apps through Palm. And, they've got their little store and so on. But I said, Eric, what about all these? And they were called Java Midlets. And there was a little WebSphere, IBM WebSphere Java runtime that you would have to download. And it wasn't current with the operating system, so it had issues. But boy, talk about royal nerd geek fest stuff when you had to try to download one of these midlets. But there were all kinds of cool free apps, weather apps and all kinds of stuff. And Palm never moved forward on it, because it was all about, what's in the store and what they can make money on. They didn't care about any of the free stuff. And I look at just little things like that, that if they had opened that up and done, because I think that's one of the things that has been huge about what Apple's done with the App Store is make it something that is, open season on anything you can come up with pretty much within certain guidelines. Anyway, we're going on and on. We're digressing, I think.
Well, I was just saying that Apple didn't invent everything in the smartphone space. That other people they built on what other people had done before them, just like they did with the Mac. Xerox, had some ideas that they saw and they improved on those.
Windows
so,
on the
you know on the I just yeah. I just hope that this verdict doesn't mean that other companies can't be inspired by Apple to make great products.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think people we'll find out. It's very tough to tell because anything that even comes close to looking like Apple, everybody's going to stop and go, wait a minute. And I'm thinking, is this the rebirth of the push button?
See,
every time you think about touchscreen, you think about Apple.
Yep.
Well, so next week we got a big week coming up with the new iPhone apparently. So Steve, are you gonna try to weasel out of your contract or do something?
Stand
else?
In line. Well, he's gonna get one.
Apple has a thing where they'll buy your phone for like $345 for a 4S. So we'll see if that holds. After
are you serious?
Yeah. That's the top of the line model, which Steve has.
Yeah, the 64
Mine, they'll
gig.
Only give me maybe $300 for.
Yeah, see,
but I'm thinking about it.
Well, they're doing it so that they can A, just refurbish them, but B, somebody like me off contract or on contract, I'd have to go in and pay full price for it. So it'd be, $650, I think. And so that's why they're doing it, I'm sure. To get people like me to turn in our 4Ss and.
Yep.
They say
that recycling is a really big deal. So, they're trying to be good citizens with helping with all the electronic stuff getting recycled,
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's it.
Well,
we're not going to resell the suckers and make money. No way.
Well, yeah, I guess there aren't too many 4Ss that are going to go in the recycle dump.
No, you don't see a lot of those laying around.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to get my wife a 4S, so.
Are you?
They're so cheap now, so.
Yeah. Well, what about the...
They'll get cheaper, I'm sure, because that's going to become the $99 deal, in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So what about the new Kindle Fire? What do we know about that? Tim, have you been looking at that?
Yeah, there's been some leaks. They sold out this week. So
of
we
the
can't
current
buy
one?
A Kindle Fire now from Amazon. They have a scheduled event next week as well. Mm-hmm. And rumor has it that there's going to be a 7 and a 10-inch, which, of course, the last version was a 7-inch. So we'll see. There's not a lot of detail. There was a picture in The Verge yesterday of what supposedly it's going to look like.
I'll have to go look at that.
How many of those things did they sell? Did they ever say, or did anybody ever come up with a reasonable estimate or a realistic estimate of how?
I don't know. I'm sure some analyst has probably come up with something, but Amazon did say that they have like 22 or 3% of the tablet market with the Kindle Fire.
Huh. They so I guess you could, said that, huh?
Yeah, I guess you could extrapolate from if you had the total market and all that stuff. So, so I guess the big thing is the, you know, rumor has it that Apple's going to have two events, one next week or the week after, and then one in October, and that the next event will just be iPhone related, and then after that it's the
mini iPad.
7-inch iPad, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that does make sense because if they release two products like that at the same time, I think that they would lose something in the news cycle, especially since their competitors are also announcing at the same time. You know, a number.
Everybody's products. Crowded around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, Amazon's doing it next week, so they dominate the news cycle for a week, and then Apple the week after that will do that. And then, you know, I'm sure that Google will do some stuff. They'll probably have a new Nexus device coming out. So it'll be a you know, the next month or so, there'll be a lot of announcements and a lot of stuff going on, a lot of new products.
It'll be a mobile shilling.
So can we go around? I know I'm putting you guys on the spot, but can we go around for just a moment? And can you just just mention one thing that you saw this past week that you thought was kind of cool with respect to technology, obviously. Not, hey, I was at JCPenney and I like the new displays.
What was the coolest thing? That's, there's so many, you know?
Yeah.
You guys go first.
Well, I had a chance yesterday to talk to a company in Nashville, a company called SmartView. It was related to a client that I'm working with, and they developed a software application for them on Windows 8. And it was a very impressive impressive display of a nice design and a functional design on the Windows 8 platform. And I really enjoyed talking to this company. The company's name is SmartView. They provide surveillance cameras for businesses and industries. And so that was great just talking to, that CEO and founder, and very successful business. So that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Nice.
It's always good to see that. And then, well, that's all. Let's see. That's probably the coolest thing I saw this week, but it's, you know, really nice in this business that we've chosen, guys, is you get to see a lot of great stuff. I mean, you think about the smart things, we talk about the Kickstarter things. We talk about what's happening locally, the innovation that we see. So it's very exciting. I can't imagine not being able to be exposed to this stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. How about you, Tim? Or do you want me to go? Or Graham, are you ready?
I'll go.
Okay.
Have you seen the Lyft app on the iPhone or heard about it? The motivation app to help you?
No.
To help motivate you to do things? It's pretty cool. Really simple UI.
A little boot comes out and kicks you in the butt.
Is it kicks you in the butt. Yeah, it's a robot thing. You plug it in there. Your connector. No, I'm trying to remember how it's spelled. I think it's just Lyft.
Yeah. Lyft.do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you add habits that you want to, or things that you want to, you know, be motivated about. Like, so I entered blog more, low carb lunch, save money. And then after I saw Marshall Kirkpatrick, you know, Marshall, he's formerly the head dude at Read Write Web.
Yeah.
The content VP there. Well, he's got a startup now in Portland, but I saw something scroll by where it was on a story about Lyft where he was having it remind him to enter his calories on the Lose It app. And if you're trying to lose weight, the Lose It app, lose-it, I think it is highly recommended. I'm hearing. And so I grabbed that. So now I'm going to use the Lyft app to help me to remember to enter my calories in the Lose It app. Huh. So there you go.
Well, I've been using the Gain It app.
And, shaped like a fork.
Well, it tells you how to gain weight and also how to spend a lot of time on the sofa. And no, actually, I used the Lose It app last summer and lost 30 pounds before I went to Germany.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not at all. It? Oh, God, yes. Both so, my wife and I did, but my wife actually kept her 12 pounds off. And so she still looks fabulous. And I was going
to ask you, did you put it back on?
Well, that's because I downloaded the Gain It app.
The Gain It app.
Yeah. Well, but I'm back on the Lose It app now. Yeah. I know.
But you're a testimonial for Lose It then.
Well,
sure.
It does work. It's just that you got to do it. You know?
Well, that's right.
You can't go into the winter and go, well, I'm wearing sweaters now. And
if you do stop eating, weight does come off. It's just amazing how that works.
What a shocker.
Well, but what's nice is you can set a ceiling for your calories and then you can eat anything you want. If you want to eat bowls of chips, that's fine. It's just that that's where your calories are going to go. But it's cool because you can go to any restaurant. You can go to McDonald's if you want. You can find stuff to eat, you know, that are within your calorie budget and all that. So. It's pretty cool. That's what I like about it. Because I don't want to just, you know, do Jenny Craig or something where, you know, here's your meal for the day. That's what you get.
You can eat all the celery you want.
You can, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tim, do you want to go or?
Do I want to go where?
On what you saw that was cool.
Do I want to? You know, I was off the call for like 5 minutes for some reason.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I have no idea what you've been talking about.
Well, what we're talking about is we're just doing a round robin on one thing that we saw this week that was cool. All right, I'll go. Then you can come in after that. I started trolling through the Kickstarter projects because of the success of SmartThings. And one of the ones that I came across is called Pixate, P-I-X-A-T-E, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And basically what it is, it lets you create beautiful native mobile apps styled with CSS. And you go, what? But watch the video. And I'm really excited about stuff like this that are higher level tools that are going to allow more and more quote unquote non-developer humans to build and deliver stuff that runs on mobile devices. And this one I really liked particularly because it gives you an easy way to do very native feeling apps. So that's my cool one.
Cool. All right, Tim, now it's you. You got it? You understand the game?
Yeah, I understand the game. What was yours? Play with us. Or I'm Phil, what was yours?
Oh, I just had a chance to chat with a company out of Nashville, a company called SmartView, just to talk about the recent Windows 8 app that was built by them, by a client. So that was my highlight.
Oh, okay.
That was just one of those things that I saw that I thought was cool.
All right. Well, I think that the all the Windows 8 stuff that's coming out of IFA in Berlin this week is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff from Lenovo and Nokia and Samsung. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's good to see that Microsoft will have a lot of new devices come this October when Windows 8 comes out.
You know, which is bigger, is IFA or what's the one in Hamburg, CeBIT?
Yeah, I think IFA is bigger for IFA? For mobile.
Okay. Okay.
Than CeBIT is. Now CeBIT is the most ridiculous show I've ever been to. Where it's, you know, it's like CES on steroids, or it used to be anyway, years ago, where you have this hall after hall after hall of everything you could possibly imagine that has anything to do with tech. And so it's everything from industrial stuff to, you know, PCs and phones and all sorts of stuff. But it's...
This is the Hanover Fair?
No, it's in Hanover.
Or is it in Hamburg?
Yeah, I think it is in Hanover. I think you're right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard of Hanover.
Okay.
Yeah, but CeBIT is a crazy show. But I think that from a mobile perspective, IFA is really the big thing, which is just concluding in Berlin.
Well, I got to tell you that I would love to go to a show there because when we were in Berlin last summer, well, Berlin is my daughter just said, oh my God, I would love to live here. The startups in Berlin and all the energy and And
it's the San Francisco of Germany.
It is. It absolutely is. It's the
San Francisco of Germany.
That's what they call it. Yeah.
Without that's the, what they call it.
Without the beauty.
That's what Americans call it. I doubt if that's what they call it.
What Germans call it?
What Germans call it.
What would they call it? The place where Hitler died?
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, geez.
The place where Adolf went down.
Well, we were walking by a parking lot, and it turns out that that's where Hitler's bunker was. And somebody drives by and yells and take a picture. You know, it's like, oh, geez. I'm sure everybody does that. But hey, well, what's coming up for events?
Let's see. Well, let's see. First and foremost, I believe this Club Entrepreneur looks good on the 6th. So you might want to take a peek at that over at Minneapolis Club. Is that right?
Yep. Minneapolis Club.
I've never been to the Minneapolis Club.
You'll have to wear your bow tie.
Ah, there you go. And then we also highlighted the Minnesota Cup awards, you know, the announcements, but the actual awards reception and program happens on the 6th as well.
Yeah.
At 5 p.m. Yep, I'll be there.
Great. And then the we talked about these before, but that Minnesota Developers Conference and the Bloggers Conference is coming up. And
WordPress, of course, on the heels of the Bloggers Conference.
Right, right. And then what's this, did you just put this in, Graham, the Collaboratives 26th Annual Minnesota Venture and Finance Conference?
The big conference for the blue suits. Yeah. And a lot of good startups too, you know, are going to be pitching there. Well, further along ones mostly, like Jamf and Instratus and Evolve and some other startups that we know, Nyku, Fission, if you've heard of those guys. So it's the link is in there, and you can read all about it. It's only one day this year. It's been sort of a day and a half or 2 days in some years past, but it's Thursday, October 11th at the convention center. And they get, you know, I don't know, they get probably get 300-400 people out for that thing at least. So
nice. Yeah, they got, Matt Dornquist is there and all of that. Somebody seriously though ought to talk to, God's name just blew out of my mind, that runs the Collaborative, Dan Carr. Somebody ought to talk to him and say, you know, Dan, you really need to redo your website and also get it off of Cold Fusion. Oh, come on, man. It's left justified and, oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a little 90s.
Dan
readily admits that he's not a geek, but he's come a long way from where he was at one time. And they sure know how to promote with their email newsletters and all kinds of stuff. They might even be doing this thing called social media now too.
What?
Yeah. Dan, that would be interesting. Is Dan on Twitter yet? He's probably trying to just get to the point where, you know, like this thing could go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the internet. I think it's gonna make it.
Could take off.
Yeah. Could be good. All right. Good.
Oh, don't forget about She's Geeky. We definitely want to give props to She's Geeky that comes up.
You're right. Sorry about that.
The 19th, 20th. Yep, in October.
At the Science Museum. Yep.
Yeah. So check that out.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, it's a long weekend, so hopefully people will enjoy this as they're driving up to their cabin.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm not either. I don't have a cabin, so. Well, maybe I'll drive up. I'll drive to Graham's cabin.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's
drive
an idea.
I'll park outside.
Well, listen, if you guys don't have any if you guys don't have anything going on, you can come over and help me clean. I'm going to clean the garage and
do
some bushes, trim some bushes, you know.
Oh gosh.
will mucho beer be provided? Or
I could, if you came over, I'd go out and get whatever you want, Guinness and whatever you need.
Plan on rearranging my sock drawer, so I really can't.
I had too much beer at Harriet Brewing on Thursday night. Oh, what a cool craft beer brewery!
What took you over there? Just beer?
Well, we had a fraternity reunion there. It was epic, and we had the tour and drank some really good craft beers. West Side is one of them because the guy lives on the west side of Lake Harriet. And the brewery's over at like near Lake and Minnehaha. And God, they had the food truck out and back and they've got a really cool patio set up because you can serve beer if your brewery's now, you can serve them on site, you know, so in the city of Minneapolis. Yeah. So it was quite the party we had over there. My head was still reeling.
I need to ask you guys, has anybody gone to the fair this week or this year?
No.
Not me, no.
Man.
Social media breakfast didn't do the fair deal this year. That must be sort of old hat now.
And we got to get out more, guys. There's a big, great big world out there.
Yeah.
No time.
No time. No time to experience the real world.
Too much writing to do.
I understand.
Yep. All right.
All right, guys. Well, let's listen. Thanks very much for joining us for once again. And next week, we will see you again on
the Men of Eight Gang podcast.
Hey, over and out.
Take care.
Yay.